This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, and today, in conjunction with World Toilet Day, we're taking a look at some of the businesses surrounding toilets, sanitation, as well as, in this case, tiles. So it's my pleasure to have in studios with me this morning Dato' C.C. Ngay, founder and managing director of Faruni Ceramice. Thank you very much for joining us, Dato'.
Yeah, good morning.
So, first of all, Faruni is quite an interesting business because you started it in 2010. And at the time, it was unusual because you were the first to break the mold and market and sell your own products rather than rely on third-party distributors. But right now, your products are made by OEM factories in Malaysia, China, Italy and Spain. Do you have any plans to open up a factory of your own anytime soon?
No, that is not the area that we want to focus. I think we still very much to rely on the current model because this is something that will not be limited our creativity, that actually we can do a lot of amazing things without the burden of having our own factory.
Okay. But when you do manufacture tiles in these four countries, wouldn't you then be exposed to Forex risks? How do you manage that exposure?
Yeah, there's always the risk to manage. I think at the end of the day, which business that we just need to focus the area that we good at. Because I think running a factory is actually a different skill set all together. I think we always believe that we just need to focus to do our part and make sure that we are constantly adding value to the customer. I think this area that we want to focus.
So to be clear, you're focusing more on the design element of these tiles?
Yes, right.
Okay. So, but when it comes to this Forex risk, maybe you could tell us a bit about how you are hedging that at the moment.
Okay. Our long-term goal that we are actually going to expand our business to the other country so that we can actually have a natural hedge, because when you're doing an international business, we're going to be receive USD as well. So that through this, then we can actually have a natural hedge instead of actually keep depending on the fluctuation of the currency.
Yes. But when you say a long-term goal, how long-term are we talking about?
Yeah, we actually now start to plan for our expansion in export market. So very soon that we'll actually start the first country in 2020.
That's Brunei.
Yeah. There's a Brunei that we're going to start our first showroom in Brunei. Then slowly we're going to expand it to Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines and Vietnam.
Okay, but then when it comes to talking about natural hedging, one of the basic elements of it is that you have to export the same amount as you import, roughly, in order to really balance out that Forex risk, right? So considering you are only just starting out, how long do you expect it to take before you can see this natural hedging come into place?
Yeah, there is something that's unique. All the while that you need to balance up. So that's why Malaysia will be one of our key OEM factory as well, so that we can not so much depend on only from the outside the country. So this is actually one of the way to manage on increase the volume in produced in Malaysia. And of course, we also need to come up the whole, need banks to support for us to manage and hedging our long-term contract so that actually we can minimize our risk.
Okay. So do you anticipate, though, being affected by the ongoing trade war, considering that you do have OEM factories in China?
Yeah, definitely there is actually concern for us. But at the same time, it's also, I think, every track and also create opportunity for us, because, as I mentioned, that we don't really have our own factory. So that's why we have a lot of flexibility. We can move to any country that actually is not affected by the trade war. I think that is actually the beauty of not owning my own factory.
So you're not tied down to one particular facility?
Precisely. Either the machine constraint or the country constraint, in a sense.
But then, say, for example, you do shift production more to the OEM factories that you employ in Italy or Spain, actually bringing that cargo back to Malaysia, wouldn't you then still incur higher costs in terms of shipping and manufacture?
Yeah, but definitely there will be increase and the cost will be slightly higher. But something that Italy and Spain can do is treat this outside country they cannot do. I think that is the product from Europe. They still have some very unique element, especially the designer series. This is only is very unique and that only available in Europe. I think that there's always our thinking that how we for we need to bring the whole world, the best towns in the world, to bring back to Malaysia, to showcase to all Malaysians. I think this is always what we believe.
Okay. And you mentioned your expansion plans into Brunei and Vietnam and Thailand. And I'll get into that in just a second. I just wanted to ask you first about your plans here in Malaysia, because currently Faruni has 12 retail stores, right? So the first one was opened in 2015. Do you have any plans for more at this point?
Yeah, I think Malaysia definitely we're going to be continue to expand, because this is our dream to actually cover the whole nationwide. Mm-hmm. We are now covering 12. So our long-term goal that we want to build 30.
Build 30.
The 30 showrooms is all nationwide, so that we can actually cover to all area.
Mm. Yeah. When you say a long-term plan, you know, what roughly when do you want to have these 30 stores by?
Yeah, I think the expansion plan in Malaysia will be start in end of 2020 and 2021. Then we're going to start to expand more outlet to other state.
Okay. And in terms of Brunei, so you have said before that you want to try and replicate your business model in Brunei and also in Vietnam and Thailand and those other Southeast Asian countries that you mentioned. So are the plans still on track for first quarter 2020 in Brunei?
Yeah, it is still on track. So now on the other country, then now we are still looking for the right partner, because to us, it's not only about the business. I think more to me that how actually we can replicate the whole business philosophy and the purpose, how should we building our business right on the purpose that we believe to do things right, to actually giving back to community, and actually how to making continue to transform the industry. I think there's something that I'm more passionate about. It's not only about selling another container of tiles. I think this is not something that I'm the thing that I'm only looking for.
Okay, but nevertheless, you know, looking at Brunei, will there be enough market demand there to sustain your expansion into Brunei? Because and why I ask this is because Brunei may be richer than Malaysia in terms of purchasing power parity, dollars per capita, but ultimately it's a population of less than 430,000 people concentrated in 5,700 square kilometers. Mm. You know, will there actually be enough to sustain you there?
Yeah, I think to me, there is also only another channel to me. As I mentioned, I think each of the country that we are looking for the right partner to actually to make an impact in that particular area. To me, is because the area is small, then we do not need to have so much room. Then we only need to have one or two that's good enough. Yeah, I think that's most important, that how we can bring this value and bring this world trend design to Brunei. I think there's something that I'm passionate about, and bring that she's the right business model and business philosophy to Brunei.
Mm. And what about countries like Vietnam? Do you think that you will be more successful there than other competitors? Because White Horse, for example, is present in Vietnam, but they're struggling there. They've had to reduce their prices below even break-even costs in order to clear their stock in Vietnam. So why is it that you think you could do better?
Yeah, because our business model with the manufacturing is very different, because manufacturing is actually very focused on continue producing tiles out because the machine can't stop. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's totally different, that we should look at the angle, that how we can make our tiles and our design much better and actually meeting to the market. I think there's actually two very different strategy. And as I mentioned, that we do not have a constraint on the production.
Yeah.
So our focus is really very much on giving the experience to the customer, and actually focus on very much on the customer end. Instead of the manufacturing, you actually very much focus on how much output that I can produce out.
All right. And we'll be continuing this discussion with a look into Faruni's plans for the Malaysian market in just a little while. I'm speaking with Datuk Si Singe, founder and managing director of Faruni Ceramice, in conjunction with World Toilet Day. So be sure to stay tuned for more after this. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill, where I'm speaking with Dato' C.C. Ngee, founder and managing director of Feruni Ceramice, in conjunction with World Toilet Day. Now, Dato', earlier we were talking a bit about your plans to expand Feruni into other countries like Brunei, as well as Vietnam and other countries in the Southeast Asian region. But now let's take a bit of a deeper dive into your business here in the domestic Malaysian market. Now, estimates place you at having about 6 to 7% of the market share of the tile industry, which is worth around 3 billion ringgit. You said earlier that you are looking to open more stores, so 30 more stores by 2021-ish. How do you anticipate expanding your footprint? Because you do occupy a somewhat niche position at the more premium end of the tile industry. Are you confident enough to stay in this niche, or will you be looking to challenge players like Whitehorse and Grocera on value?
Yeah, I think that's after this first 9 years in the market, now we actually slowly to expand our market. When actually we started, our tagline is called Design for Luxury. I think our next 9 years, we actually very focused on how we can build something affordable but get luxury. So our tagline going to be is actually affordable luxury, that we can actually bring this product and actually this amazing product to actually to more people. I think that actually our next focus will be, so that we with this in mind, that's why we think that we want to expand our outlet to 30 outlet in 2022.
Okay. So is this why then that you entered into a joint venture with several five property developers at the start of this year? Because Paramount Corp, Uda Holdings, Thriving Global, was this part of that push towards aiming at a slightly more affordable luxury segment? Because with the exemption of Paramount Corp, they're not exactly the biggest property developers in the market.
Yeah, I think this is a strategy. It's not only because of the affordability. I think that we do want to be as a supplier. I think at the end of the day, we want to actually how to adding value to the customer. So because we have a wide network in the nationwide, so that we always think that at the end of the day, can we adding value to the developer through our own network and our database, that actually we can actually have the win-win situation. So this is actually always the idea behind everything that we do. We are actually very much focused on adding value, either the end customer or the developer.
So are you anticipating more JVs like this in your future?
Yeah, then now currently we really have a 16 synergistic collaboration developer. So definitely we're going to be expand more and more.
Okay. But in this quest to try and address a slightly more affordable segment, how are you going to overcome things like high material costs? Because that's one of the headwinds that analysts anticipate will affect the building materials industry, particularly tile makers like yourself. So high raw material prices for ceramics, for example. And ceramics and porcelain are a big component of your tile products. So, you know, how are you going to address that problem?
Yeah, I think this is actually, there's very much depend on how we can actually getting a right partner. I think, as I mentioned just now, without this factory burdens that are owned by me, then now we actually have much more flexibility that we can negotiate with our OEM partner to actually give us a better price. So our idea is always that how actually we can actually have a win-win situation with our OEM partner. I think with this downturn, actually now the factory, because we're able to have this economy of scale, I think that's why that we can actually have a much better price now to have a competitive advantage. Of course, this need to be work together with our design, and actually that's whole philosophy how actually we can make things more effective in terms of the stock control, in terms of design and the production. I think we now not only looking at the one by one, we need to actually put everything in together, so that actually we can how to achieve of the economy of scale, and at the same time actually we get the volume. I think this is always that we are focused on, and of course at the end of the day we can achieve the lower price, so mm-hmm. that we can giving back to the consumer.
But when we talk about lower prices also, achieving lower prices as a result of, as a strategy is one thing. But sometimes you do see the case where prices come down just as a result of market competition. And the tile industry is one that is very competitive here in Malaysia, because you do have massive players. You know, White Horse is a market leader. They've got an anticipated 60-70% of market share. You also have Kimgres and Coursera. So with all of these players in the market, and with you looking to challenge them more on value over these next few years, what is your unique selling point here? You know, what kind of products, what kind of new products are you looking at to stay ahead while still maintaining your margins?
Yeah, I think probably actually when you can visit our showroom, you can see the way that that we actually putting our product is very different compared with the competitor that you mentioned just now. I think our area that is always focused at how we can actually help customer to design their own dream home. We are not actually selling a piece of town. We actually be selling the whole design and helping customer to fitting into their budget and build something that they're literally them, something they dream of. I think when you visit our showroom, that you can see the whole difference paradise, and you actually have a lot of idea how you can actually build your own dream home with the budget that actually that you can afford. I think that is something that we're very much focused on, that how we can build the right design for the right customer.
But how will you maintain that? So I can understand that this would be something that would come along with the slightly more premium segment of the market that you've been in prior to this. But as you start to look at a wider demographic of customer, will you be able to maintain this level of customer service?
Yeah, definitely. So this one now with the IT, with everything, so now we have to be more creative to actually expand it to help to helping a customer to design their dream homes actually with a much lesser resources. That's why we actually we invested a lot of in our IT, how actually we can bring it to either actually our processes, our design software, everything that we need to come using IT to help us to support, to maintain our profitability and the efficiency as well.
Okay. And so just looking at the performance of some of your rivals also, White Horse is the biggest one, as we've mentioned. They've made losses currently to the tune of 43 million ringgit compared to bumper profits before 2015. Since 2015, it's been a real downward slope now. And are you suffering the same fate?
Yeah, I think as I mentioned, the property market slowdown definitely affected every one of us. I think without the burden of the factory, we're still pretty good. I think we're still surviving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's something that sometimes when I look at it, it doesn't mean that you own a factory, you have advantage. Sometimes you'll be disadvantaged as well. Yeah.
Okay.
So I can say we are still surviving and we are still looking good.
All right. Now, and as you mentioned, the property slowdown is a big issue for people in industries like yourself, which are closely linked to the property sector. And it's not just the fact that we do have a property overhang. We also do have a very soft secondary property market. So are you anticipating a corresponding slowdown in orders going forward as we see developers, for example, try and clear existing stock rather than developing new properties?
Yeah, I think definitely for the time being, in the next 12 months, definitely actually the whole property development maybe should be slowed down. As you mentioned, that they need to clear a lot of stock. Yeah, this issue will be constantly challenged in our, especially in our sector. Issue is very much related to the development. But what we actually, we always believe that, that's why we come out a lot of program that, as I mentioned, that how actually we can adding value to the developer instead of just as a supplier, so that we can actually be outstanding in this, even though there is in this challenging market.
And in 2016, you made a statement to KiniBiz that you expected a 30% compound annual growth rate over the next 5 years. Now, it's 2019 now. You've had 3 years to attempt to achieve that 30% CAGR. Looking back on it now, is that 30% achievable in your view?
Yeah, I think we can't achieve this 30%, but actually we still continue to growing our business.
So where are you seeing then your areas of growth, considering that the construction industry is itself expected to grow at about 5% over the next year?
Yeah, I think our main area going will be on our retail segment. As I mentioned, I think this is one of the why we mentioned just now that we want to continue to expand on the retail market while property developer in the next 3 months will be slowed down. So hopefully with our retail segment, actually we can grow much better.
So what's the revenue contribution spread like between your project and your retail segments?
Now currently, there's our project market still slightly more. Still slightly more compared with our retail business.
Okay.
So our goal is actually we have a balance maintained on the 50-50 so that actually we can have a more stable growth.
So when you say your retail segment, you're talking about supplying to end users.
Yep.
Okay. So what is your, if your target is 50-50, what is the proportion right now?
Now around 65% to 35%.
All right. So now just looking forward also to what else you have planned for Furuni Ceramice. Is a listing anywhere in your future?
Not at this moment. It's not something that we are planning at this moment. I think now, for me, our focus is now getting the business on track and continue to grow our business. That is the area that we are focused. Mm. At this moment, I still don't have any plan yet. Yeah.
Okay. Since if you are looking to remain a private company, then I guess I know that your management style is famously very hands-on. Have you started thinking about succession plans if continuing in the private vein is something that you're interested in?
Yeah, definitely. Because one of our key pillar, our purpose actually is to cultivate talent. I think this is something constantly that in my mind that how I can actually bring more talent in the company so that we can really make a transformation in the industry. I think this is something, the area that I'm keen looking for the answer, that how we can bring more talent and get more successor to run the business instead of depend on myself. But frankly speaking, now I think the team actually is doing a very good job. I think we have a lot of young talent joining us in the past few years. Probably now our workforce, 75% of the workforce is actually below 35. I think there's actually, I'm looking, there's a lot of new talent joining the company. And yeah, I think that successful is not something that we should worry about.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Datuk Ngai.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Datuk Sisi Ngai, founder and managing director of Furuni Ceramice, in conjunction with World Toilet Day today. This has been The Breakfast Grill, and I'm Lynn Mark for The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.